race to get the bank way to create money with the loans that they're giving out daily. That means our money is dead, and we gotta pay back more than 100%. No wonder they're why the middle class is going under, when the ones above them gotta cover and come to collect. And many have no access to banking, making payments or saving, so more fees are taken. And every day the gatekeepers are trying to stop change. We cannot wait. Welcome to the blockchain.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m. till about 1.30 p.m. And we're back live in the studio today after a special recorded edition last week from the Synapse Innovation Summit in Tampa. Hope you all enjoyed that, but we're back again with a somewhat full studio, and we'll introduce everybody in just a moment. It's your weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more. Well, it's April, it's springtime, and in the crypto world, new life blossoms, especially in the marketplace. And it's raining money. Just a little bit later this evening, the EOS airdrop is coming. And what does all that mean for you and for us? Well, Coinbase looks to expand its business model, while other crypto exchange points the finger at one of their own on a $3.5 million theft. And where's the capital gains? Credit Karma says only 1 in 250 tax returns are showing cryptocurrency capital gains. Well, it must just be a bunch of bad traders out there. And we'll find out more from that from our panel of experts, if you will. Well, back in the studio after, I don't know, like 3 or 4 months of absence, it seems like, a.k.a. Andy Goldbug. What? Hey, Andy, how you doing?
Hey, Henry, how you doing? Now,
how long has it been?
You know, it's been good. I think we got a new contract signed here with the Henry Rain Show, but I thought you were supposed to change my intro music. Wasn't that part of the contract?
No, that's what all the other divas want.
Ah, oh, I see. Okay.
I thought you were the consistent one. What would you like, though?
I don't know. Something a little more hip-hop or something. I don't know.
There's some classic rock. Hip-hop thing.
Some classic rock, maybe.
Gold Digger, maybe?
Yeah, Gold Digger. There we go. I love that. Yeah.
All right. You want the Jamie Foxx version?
Nah, I don't know. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, why not? Put a little redneck in there.
Huh?
Jamie Foxx. Oh, I'm thinking of the wrong Jamie Foxx. Oh, my God.
Yeah, his neck's not red.
Yeah, no. And I apologize, Jamie.
A little darker than red.
And that can only mean in the studio, pretty much as always, is Augie. Augie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Henry.
Yes, and I just have to say, we have about 3 or 4 of them now, these different encrypted text apps that we use. There's only one that everybody is on, and I think we need to charge pay-per-view to see you and Augie going back and forth.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
And art, too.
Well, you saw the dialogue this morning.
Yes, I did. And I'm not going to bring it all up on the radio, but, yes. And then sometimes, how do I say this? Especially Colleen. Sometimes she goes, Honey, are you high? And I don't believe so that he is, but it's sometimes you got to work to figure out what he's saying.
Yeah, I know. I'm confused half the time, but that's just because I fail in intelligence to Augie.
Conundrum inside
a
paradox.
What he's saying, because I don't use that many words.
No, you use big words that I don't understand, you know.
Yeah, I place them well.
Augie, do you want to lift that mic up so it's more convenient?
It is more convenient. Yeah, Henry, I tell you what, the interesting sideliner who's not here today is Sabine. And it's always I always watch what she'll see a series of comments on Snapchat, and then she comes back with, love the crew, but it's always stand off and watch the so-called fireworks.
Connor, an instigator?
No.
A bystander, more like.
A catalyst? No, not that either. No.
Okay. She's a sweetheart. Yeah. We love her. Yeah. We miss her today, too.
When does she have time to write? I wonder when we're going to tell her that we talked about her while in her absence. She'll want to be here. Well, maybe she's listening out there. But when does she have time to write a novel? Because she's always putting up these esoteric articles and things that I probably should know since I'm on the radio talking about stuff. And
when she goes to every crypto hangout, you know, there is. I mean, she was at one the other day, and
she's probably writing a novel about all of that.
Yeah?
Nah, why not?
I can't wait to see how you and I are portrayed in that.
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah.
I have no curiosity. About that. Anyway.
Hearts and Flowers, there you go. Somebody. Or Hearts and Weeds.
That guy sounds like Brian. Every time I hear him, hey, Brian. Oh, yes, what a week it was. Finally, 1 week. For the last 3 months, Augie, the former contrarian, but really always the contrarian,
yeah.
Amen.
Has been... I wouldn't say he's gloating, because it doesn't. He wasn't gloating, but he had a certain self-assuredness about his position for the past 3 months. And finally, we get a break. While Wall Street giants J.P. Morgan and Citigroup and other banks had strong first-quarter earnings, it was really the crypto world that caught our attention. The traditional markets had started off the second quarter, traditionals and stock, relatively low, as crypto markets ended their worst first quarter ever. Bitcoin and Ethereum saw great losses, and the second quarter started on April 2nd. The founder of investment management firm Double Line Capital has said Bitcoin had become the new stock market indicator as the lead horse of risk assets, which sounds like more than just the lead horse. It sounds like some other part of horse.
Yeah, right.
The crypto markets have been relatively strong, with Bitcoin's price jumping by more than 1,000 in the span of 30 minutes on April 12th. Continue to see growth across the board on Friday as well. At press time, which was actually this morning, and I haven't checked since we came in the studio, Bitcoin was around 7,900 plus. Ethereum was around 494. Are you checking for us right now?
I'm getting the actual prices because, gosh, it is, 10% a minute anymore. 79.43, Henry.
Ah, wow.
492 for Ethereum.
It's been stable for minutes now.
It has been.
What's Dash?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Where's Dash?
It's like 300-something.
Yeah, actually, Dash did pretty good because it was hanging low there. I've been,
a lot of things have been hanging low.
Yeah, right.
I saw that comment about the male parts in Snapchat.
Yeah. That was the first thing that came to my mind, too. Yeah, where's Sabine when you need her? Hang in low. Never mind, Henry. Never mind. It's an Augie.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I am.
You're the one that's spelling it out.
How much more do I need to spell? I mean, I'm one letter away from giving the answer.
So let me go
Balls
to the,
fire, right?
The co-founder of SeekingCryptos.com here and the... A multi-follower TradingView.com columnist, Goldbug One. And so I think it was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I said to you, looking at a three-month chart, why would I have any optimism at all that things were changing? And, you gave me your technical analysis and this and that. But I said, if it was a stock, I wouldn't touch it until I saw something change. Well, and I, at that point, I had gone to cash finally. I think I gave up crypto for Lent. And,
yeah. Several people did.
Yeah. But this week, I saw at least what seemed to be a reversal. I know you see the reversals way in advance with your crystal ball.
Yeah.
But I could actually see something change this week. And I moved back in with about 50% of what I had. And so tell us the Gold Bug One analysis here. What happened this week?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, it just was, it was a flat line, and you kept seeing the short interest continue to go higher,
I'm talking about when it was still going down, because it was only like a week and a half ago that it hit another new low for the 3 months.
Well, yeah, but it's, you know, it's been, but short interest continued up, and it, after it hit that six, you know, it was 6,200 in that range anyways, it hit that low. It bounced up, and short interest kept piling in, and we kept warning everybody, this could be the bottom here, and you could see a reversal.
Because the herd is always
The herd is always selling at the wrong time, and when that interest got up to 42,000, you know, Gillian Patrice, who writes for us, and of course Mark.
Everybody writes for Seeking Crude.
Yeah, I know, it's great. We have some great writers there. They both called it, and, you know, and I was looking at OMG and Wabi, and you know, and they both called it. I jumped on the trade. You know, I don't know if you did or not. Did you jump on the trade, Henry?
Which one?
The OMG? Bitcoin trade.
Well, I got in when I felt comfortable getting in, but it wasn't that far. It was this week, so I caught most of the run.
That's good. I mean, you're at a low. That's when you buy. Am I wrong, Augie?
No, you always buy when the blood's in the street.
When the blood's in the street, you buy even if it's your own blood. You know, and
whatever blood is there, you're going to have to mop it up somewhere.
Well, on the other hand, though, when things are making new highs to make other new highs, they make new highs. So, it isn't always wrong to be buying when the trend is upward.
But if you're buying in at 10 cents and then somebody says, well, it'll go to a dollar, then that's 1,000% gain. Well, why? Well, why not?
It's nice to be early.
Yeah.
And that's but if you can't be early,
that's the nature of
be
a Ponzi.
Late to be right.
Yeah, that's the nature of a Ponzi.
Yeah, when you're trading that stuff. Now, Ponzi scheme. Oh, my gosh. Bernie Madoff over here.
Sorry.
Yeah. Put your tulips back in your tulips back in your pocket.
No tulips here.
I couldn't wait for that.
I mean, I'm not trading Bitcoin for gold by any means, but, you know, Bitcoin's here to stay.
You know, if I'm looking at something on the stock market, almost any place I go to find a quote, it'll tell me on the grid there what the short interest is. But how do you figure it out with Bitcoin? You got these exchanges all over the world.
Well, you know, I look at Bitfinex, and if you go to BTCUSD on TradingView, giving them a plug here, they have a short interest there. And so you can pull up that chart, and you can see it. And it was just, you know, Bitcoin had bottomed, like you said, about 2 weeks ago, was it? When it had that terrible bottom?
Yeah.
Okay. So you could just see the short interest, and people were piling in, and everyone, it's 3,000, 4,000, and you get to say, kind of made some momentum, and it was stepping up slowly. And, you know, hey, take a chance here. You put in a tight stop. All the short interest is already in. It was a crowded trade. You know, why not take the chance? And it popped. I mean, I literally moments before it happened said, it's not, because there was a little sell-off, and I think, you know, there was some manipulation going on there where they sold into the longs because there was a lot of long interest, too.
Who did?
When large traders can see the levels getting high and it's a low volume area and there's not a lot of volume, they actually calculate what would it take to push into the long interest here, trigger the margins, buy it up, and then sell into the short margins and trigger it to go higher. I mean, it's something that's done in Forex, very liquid markets, and something like this where it's very visible, it's very easy to do. So you saw it spike down and I was like, I had just posted. If it gets to 6,200 or something like that, I can't remember the exact number, I'm probably going to pull my trade off. And I went to look at my stock portfolio, and next thing I know, it's things at $7,500. I was like, am I reading this wrong? Did my chart flip? It was pretty crazy. So, but that shows you the power of the short squeeze.
All right.
Stay away from them short squeezes.
You got to get the right blood type to know when it's in the street or not.
That's right. And I keep, you know, and Augie, and I'm sure you can tell, for you new traders out there, I hope this is a lesson in trading on margin. If you are trading a volatile anything, I don't care if it's a stock or anything, and you're trading naked margin calls.
You better
like that.
Explain that for those out there.
Yeah, when you're trading on margin,
does it matter what they're wearing in their basement in front of their computer?
Right. You know, and I don't want to say you can't go short the market. You can't, you know,
I think
the market.
This is a time for real explanation.
Naked margin.
Okay, so
explain naked margin.
So if I own 5 Bitcoin and I don't want to sell it because there's tax implications or a million other reasons why I don't want to sell it, but I want to go short, I can use my margin to short 1 Bitcoin or 2 Bitcoin.
A margin is
I borrow it from the broker. and I sell it. Now, I'm obligated to buy it back from the broker, regardless of...
At the original price you bought it.
Well, at whatever the price is.
Oh.
You know,
so it goes with whatever...
It goes with whatever the flow of the market. So if I decide, okay, it's gone down enough, I want to take some profits off, I buy it back, and the spread between where I sold it and where I bought it back is my profit. However, there's the opposite side of that. If it goes up and it hits what they call your margin call, or your margin is, your margin limit is, your stop loss, it's automatically done, and you lose. Now, if you own 5 Bitcoin and you short 1, you're pretty much, even though you're trading on margin, you have the funds there to back it up, so you're not naked short.
Right.
When you're naked short is you have no Bitcoin, or you have 5 Bitcoin, and you short 10.
Now you're underwater.
Now you're underwater when you get a move like that. And I've seen it time and time again in markets much more liquid and move slower than this happen, where people have lost a lot of money, including their life savings.
I think you owe it to the audience to make these kinds of explanations a little more.
Well, we do in our articles, and I'm very clear in the articles. Do not short on margin.
On the show as
well. Yeah, on the show. You hear these 25, 50 to 1, I'm like, those are crazy margin accounts. Those are back in the 90s when they were trading on the floor of the stock exchange. Those are the kinds of margins Paul Tudor Jones and them got, 100 to 1, 200 to 1 margin. But they had the equities behind it to back a huge loss.
Yeah, Kraken, which is a U.S. exchange, will let you go 5 to 1. Yeah. And that scares me.
That's scary.
Anyway. But moving on here, because we have still some other...
Say one more thing. There's a couple rules I use in a stock market shorting. I never naked short anything I can buy a put for. And I never short anything I can buy a put, which is an option.
What's a put?
An option is the option to buy the contract, which limits my...
That is a put.
If I want to go short, I would buy a put.
A put is the right to sell...
It's the right to sell the equity.
An asset at a certain price.
So if I want to go short... For example, Tesla at $300. It's trading at $300. I could buy a $300 option, a put option for a strike date of next month, and I would pay a premium to have that. And then if it moves down, I get the premium. However, I'm locked in at whatever fee I pay to pay for that option.
Right, because you're not required to exercise the options.
Yeah.
And
Like
Andy said, it's all, which is my preferred way of playing the market
I like selling the options better, but that's a little more dangerous.
Yeah, that's going to be real hard to explain right now.
We won't go into that. Bottom line,
with 30 seconds before
if you
the
can
next
buy
story.
A put, don't short a stock. If you can buy a put, don't short a stock.
Sounds like words to live by. And we've got a lot of things here. Let's go ahead and go to a break here. When we come back, a lot of people said that the tax selling was what was causing the latest drop in the market. We'll look at that and a lot of other things about taxes as we come up on tax day here. You're listening to The Henry Rain Show. Trying to get into Bitcoin but don't know where to start? Byte Federal ATMs make it easy. Safe, secure, and reliable, a Byte Federal ATM introduces you to cryptocurrency investing with a method you're familiar with at a real physical location. If you've ever used a bank ATM, then you're ready to step up to a Byte Federal ATM and start building your digital assets. Located throughout Florida and Georgia, there's a Byte Federal ATM near you. Go to ByteFederal.com to find a location for you. That's ByteFederal.com, and you'll find a real phone number, a real email, and real people you've heard live on The Henry Rain Show.
There's a new way to experience wellness. Hi, I'm Laura Alcover, owner and operator of Alcover Massage. We're the first business in Bradenton's Village of the Arts to accept cryptocurrency. Whether you use Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, or Litecoin, you can now pay for quality massage therapy using cryptocurrency at Alcover Massage. So if you seek medical massage or a relaxing session with light pressure, your session will be conducted by a talented therapist. You'll be glad you booked with us. Check out and like our Facebook page where you can book online in seconds. And remember to tell your friends. Give us a call, 941-592-3187. That's 941-592-3187. Alcover Massage, quality massage therapy in your neighborhood. MA number 50525, MM number 34081.
Henry Rain Show here, WWPR 1490 AM. I want to be sure and remind you about the meetup that's coming up this Wednesday at 5:30 at Connect Bradenton. This is a different meetup than just your Bitcoin cryptocurrency meetup. This is the blockchain business and development meetup, specifically aimed at introducing businessmen in the area and businesswomen to the opportunities of blockchain and what's being developed. Now, our featured speaker at Wednesday the 18th, 5:30 p.m., Connect Bradenton, downtown at the intersection of 12th Street West and State Road 64 East, catty corner to the courthouse, is Greg Karsh, the blockchain attorney, who you've heard here on the show before, and he'll be there to talk in a general sense about blockchain and some of the issues that businesses trying to get started up are facing, and he'll be available for questions. And then we have two young men, and possibly some of the people that work with him, that are in local startups. I met them at the Synapse Innovation Summit. We will have Alberto Hargeri. He is with RainCube, raincube.io. They call it the Internet of Rain, but it's a distributed way of using rainwater for gray water purposes. A lot of interest. We're just in talking to some of the business people around here, especially some of the contractors, are interested in how all this can work. We'll tell you more about that probably later. And then also Jeremy Beal, who has a startup called FairCar, and that is a distributed application for ride sharing. Many people think Uber and Lyft are sort of state of the art on how you get around and the wave of the future. But this eliminates the middle person, the Uber or the Lyft, with savings of about 30% either for the rider or possibly more pay for the driver. And I know, Andy, this is one of the things that you think about on a lot of these startups is, can somebody bigger come in and sort of pick up the pieces and shut everybody else out?
And
put
it is, when they will.
Well, that I'm not arguing that point, but it's interesting because I've heard about this concept for quite a while, ever since I got interested in blockchain. And when I go to look at it, there's a lot of people like Jeremy out there in different marketplaces that are trying to get this started, but none of them have seemed to really launch yet. So it could just as easily be here in Tampa Bay that the launch gets started. I mean, you know, I'm not saying he wouldn't wind up selling out somewhere down the road or become so autonomous. It exists organically on its own, but it's these things are waiting to happen, and they got to start somewhere, even if they're going to be gobbled up later. And it might as well be the greater Bradenton metro area, which some people like to call Tampa Bay.
Yeah, well, I'm all for technological advancements, and I'm all for these startups. I have no issue with that. I have an issue with the coin offering, and if I'm buying a coin. If Augie's bringing up his, you know, I don't even know what.
Well, you're
going to
get your shot in the second half of the show because we have David
right.
Steen,
you know, I mean,
from the Internet of People, and he's
this is reminding me of
another
the,
startup.
This is just reminding me of the .com. Everybody had a startup, and a few of them made it. You know, unfortunately, then it was regulated, and people still lost their money.
Yeah. All right.
That's
well, speaking
of
losing
these.
Your money, or perhaps just having to give it to the tax man.
Yeah.
Well, U.S. tax selling is said to have fueled much of the pressure in the Bitcoin price around the right before the recent turnaround. Uncle Sam may find that it has come up short, not the short that Andy was talking about, when tax day rolls around April 17th. That's because only a fraction of the filers are actually reporting crypto profits in 2017. Credit Karma Tax has stated reporting of Bitcoin gains still at negligible levels as deadline approaches. Credit Karma analyzed 250,000 filers on the company's platform and discovered only a tiny fraction. Actually, about 1 in 200 to 250 people are filing the form 8949, which is how you would recognize your capital gains and losses. And that was 200 out of 500,000 filers that they examined.
Well, you know what I put on mine? I put on my 8490 or whatever it is. Hodler. I didn't say. I just put Hodler across there.
Oh, well, I think that's got you covered.
They need a check mark, you know, Hodler.
Yes. Yeah, well. So there were quite a few non-Hodlers.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was exaggerated by the fact that after it peaked right before the tax year ended, and who knows who took profit or who didn't take profit, but the way people trade this, they have taxable events all through the year because people are going in and out trying to clip all the profit they can, and then they look when it comes time to pay the tax bill, the assets that they thought they had plenty of on December 15th
are now gone.
Yes. Tom Lee, who we've heard on a lot on CNBC and we play often here, had this to say. It's a short clip, but this is actually the week before last, since we had a recorded show last week, didn't get a chance to play this. This was him speaking of the tax selling going into tax day.
Everyone wants to know, Tom, where you are on Bitcoin this morning. You do have a note that your capital gains have amplified selling, and it might get better.
By this... This was right about when Bitcoin was bouncing between 6,600 and 6,800 a week and a half ago.
After tax day?
Yeah, it's we just published a piece just looking at what do U.S. households owe for capital gains on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency profits. We think a low estimate's of $25 billion, which is almost a 20%.
Let's see, 200 filers are divided into $25 billion?
Yeah.
Some rich filers going out there.
Man.
Okay, here we go.
Boost of what the IRS tax receipts will be for capital gains this year. So it's a huge amount. But for the cryptocurrency market, that's a huge amount of outflows. I don't think we've ever seen that in a single year.
So your confidence is shaken yet in your sort of midterm, I guess, your target for this year?
No, we're still pretty confident. I mean, I think that the important trends to focus on with crypto is that there's a lot of underlying progress. Adoption is still growing. It's a big millennial story. And right now we got some selling pressure because of taxes.
Some selling pressure, in half in the last few months.
All right, that was Tom Lee from Fundstrat on CNBC. And, Augie, I know this is a topic close to your heart. What are your thoughts?
Oh, God.
Taxes?
When you don't know what you're doing in the first place and you're hoping against hope, and tax man's coming, and then they announce that they're going to have a group of tax people going out in teams to collect this money and put people on the spot, sell is the only solution.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do want to clarify a point, because a couple weeks ago when I went back and listened to the audio, I said there were 10 people on the task force for the IRS, and you said, you got that from Alex. Alex called the local IRS office,
people, right.
But that was not where I got that from. It was actually something we had talked about a couple of weeks, and that was the actual IRS press release saying that they created a task force. Of 10 people.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
So, good luck collecting that $25 billion. Luckily, $25 billion, you can find that in, I don't know, under the cushions around Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So we'll probably won't have
just
that much of a shortage.
Well, what they do, I mean, have you ever been audited? And I have, and I've been through it, and I've met with the head of the local area supervisor years ago. But I said to him, why are you coming after this small amount of money? He says, because we don't have the staff, which is what you're inferring anyway. And I said, you mean for money above $250,000? He said, yes, that was the problem. And that's where this is at.
Well, it's more complex. Those returns are more complex.
What do you mean it's more complex?
Well, I mean, you start getting into million-dollar returns with people. Well, you have a complex return, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But the reason, but this was a small amount of money that I was going to owe in any event.
I shouldn't say this, but I got audited once. Yes.
Why shouldn't you say that?
Well, because they sent me a bill for $1,800, and I was like, oh, my God, this is a gift. I just paid it off.
Well, my payout that I ended was $1,000.
That's $1,800. Yeah. That's what they wanted.
The point,
I didn't even argue.
I was audited twice with my corporation years ago, and when they walked in the door, I said, make this quick.
Yeah.
That's what I said to them.
I think they're, you know, to be honest, when you hear all that, they're reasonable people down there. And if you talk to them, I'm sure as you did, they're nice people. They're not trying to, at least the people that I talk
to.
Well,
the one that happened to me personally, locally in Sarasota, was a young girl who really didn't know what she was doing.
Yeah.
And I said, if you don't know what you're doing and I'm asking hard questions, then you got to get somebody here who does know what they're doing. And that and this took way too much time for what it ended up as, which could have been resolved much quicker. But they're OJT, they're on-the-job training, and that's what you've got in a lot of these situations. So.
Well, another issue for people that are trying to figure out their taxes are the ideas of airdrops. The most notable one, of course, would be Bitcoin Cash that I think Peter Temko, if you go back and listen to our archives at the multiple podcast sites we're on, just Google Henry Rain Show, you'll find a place you can find it. And the airdrops, so when Bitcoin forked and people were awarded Bitcoin Cash, now, according to Peter, I'm quoting him from the show on the CPA, it's until you sell it, you haven't created a taxable event. But I've heard other things beyond that. But when you first arise, if it's not trading immediately, until it trades, it doesn't have a value. Someone trades.
Well, I mean, you know, how many Bitcoin Diamond, Bitcoin this, Bitcoin that? I mean, there's been a ton of them. I looked in my Binance account, and there was probably five of them. Where'd these come from?
They've gone away from like-kind exchange, I guess. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, these are just when you are awarded them. And now some people with their ICOs are just giving them away to get them out in circulation, especially those would be considered not a value until you actually make some money. But the reason I bring this up, besides the fact that it's a consideration for people doing their taxes if they haven't done them already, is today is one of the bigger airdrops that have happened, and this is on the EOS blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
EOS, some people refer to as the Japanese Ethereum. It's built on ERC-20 token, which is an Ethereum platform. It's scheduled for a snapshot to see who gets it distributed April 15th at 1 a.m. UTC time, and I had to look that up. We are 4 hours behind UTC time, so it'll be about 9 o'clock tonight where the airdrop happens. Everybody that has 100 or more EOS will get an EOS DAC. And this is, I don't want to get too far in the weeds on this, but that's happening tonight. And EOS in the last 2 days had a 40% run up in anticipation of this. And I have to.
Hello. Hello.
Well,
knock, knock.
And hello, Henry. Because I'm like, well, I could go ahead and get 100 tokens. They're only $9. And, you know, get the airdrop and get out. And,
but we could have got it for $500.
Pardon me?
We can get them for $500.
Well, yeah,
bucks.
But it's free money tonight.
Yeah, well.
It's free money. Everybody wants free money.
I guarantee you, 2 days from now, you'll be able to buy the EOS and the other one for cheaper than what it is
anyway,
today.
It has to be in a wallet where they can take the snapshot. This is one of the this was a discovery for me. So they're able to see all the public wallet addresses and EOS in there, not the private keys, but the public addresses, and they'll know that you have the 100, and then they'll send the 100 of the EOS DAC to that address. Now, even they're not going to send it, the snapshot's tonight, but they're not going to send it for 2 or 3 weeks because of the logistics of getting this all done. So I was like, well, I know that the EOS is going to dump, you know, right after everybody gets this, but could I be faster than everybody else?
Yeah, well.
And so anyway, I was using my Ether wallet. There's other ones. I don't know. I'd have to look farther down in this article to tell you. Some of the exchanges are supporting. I imagine Binance may, if you're finding all these other ones in yours. It is farther down on my list
them in here. Can't get them out. They're like 0.002.
Now that I said something, let me make sure. No, I'm not seeing Binance on the list.
Well, EOS is on Binance.
Well, yeah, but not that they're going to support the airdrop. So,
there's your sign.
Anyway, so
If you want a good airdrop, buy GE. They're probably going to spin off GE Aerospace Division, you're going to get a good company for that. Marathon Petroleum when they spin off Speedway.
That's an
airdrop you can actually bank on.
Well, this was a good learning experience for me because I had to. Although I have a MyEther wallet, I hadn't set it up for that. I set it up, and then I tried transferring just a few in there because I don't want to lose my 100+ EOS.
Yeah, right.
And so it goes in, and I move that, and I'm like, well, now I'm going to want to. Well, as soon as they take the snapshot, I want to get out before everybody else gets out. So I'm going to have to get it back on the exchange where I sent it from. Let me try and send it back. And they're like, well, you don't have funds to send it back. This is all yesterday when I'm doing my dry run on it. Now I got to send them 0.03 of an ether so there's gas to send it back and forth. You actually can do it with less, but I didn't know what my transaction fees are going to be going to sending $10 of ether back and forth.
Yeah, right.
So I get that, and then I was like, well, let me move some of it back now. I was like, well, that worked. And I was like, maybe I'll just move all of it back on the exchange, because now that I can go back and forth and know how to do it, I might want to sell it, because it may drop here before the airdrop, and I'll be stuck. And then finally, after I got it all back over there, I was like down 10 cents an EOS.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this has disaster written all over it, and I just cashed out.
I don't believe in that stuff.
But I will probably be upset when EOS DAC is trading for $200,
It's down 4% today.
Yeah, I know. I didn't buy it at the peak, but it had peaked earlier, and it looked like it was holding its value. But then, it started to drop, and I just got out. It wound up costing me $10 or $12. So
there you go. You lost, and you didn't even, have a chance.
Yes, I could have bought a spinach salad at some nice establishment.
Yeah, one share of GE.
So that would have been $6.95 on my Merrill account. So that would have been I was better off losing my money on my EOS. So, all right, let's try to get one more thing in here if we can before this happens. The halfway point. We got Tom Lee. Let's follow up with Tom Lee. He's still backing his Bitcoin at 25,000 by the end of this year.
I love Tom Lee.
Let's talk about the Bitcoin bounce. We came down certainly a long way. Is this bounce to the upside here to stay?
It's overdue. Bitcoin incredibly oversold, and when you look at it, metrics like price to book, which is mining cost, or our Bitcoin misery index. Pretty much what you saw at the end of the 2014 bear market, not the start. And we do think that tax capital gains related to selling really accelerated in the past couple weeks because, tax day's coming up.
How high do you think it could go, Tom?
We still feel pretty confident Bitcoin is a great risk-reward, and we think it could reach 25,000 by the end of the year.
Well, there you go. I
don't disagree with that. I think he's at the high end. I think it had 21 to 25,000 on our target level for months now. Before after it pulled back, he's at the higher end. It can do it.
I'm not going to play it right now, but we also have Brian Kelly from yesterday on CNBC with what his forecast as far as news and outlook for the coming week. We'll probably play that towards the end.
Well,
of the show.
They better not come out with a donut coin, because that guy will be all over that one.
All right. Well, we'll wait for that idea.
I guess me and Augie are the only ones who watch CNBC. So,
the cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase has acquired a mobile Ethereum wallet, Cypher Browser. The reason I want to talk about this before the break at the middle of the show is our next guest, I think, can speak to this. So I want to make sure we put it out here for the audience. So Cypher Browser, which offers a Web3 decentralized app, a DAPP, DAP, browser, said it would further merge many of its features with Toshi, the decentralized mobile browser launched by Coinbase developers. In addition, the founder of Cypher, Peter Kim, will become the new head of engineering at Toshi as the two apps integrate their features, according to the announcement. Coinbase's Vice President for Communications, Rachel Horwitz, said the company is always looking to acquire the best teams, et cetera. And this speaks to the fact that Coinbase also hired former LinkedIn executive Emily Choi as the new Vice President of Corporate and Business Development, part of its role to oversee mergers and acquisitions. Well, I thought it was just a cryptocurrency exchange. No, it's becoming much more than that. They have initiated a venture capital division that will be investing in different ideas, especially from their own alumni, such as Charlie Lee, who worked at Google, then moved to Coinbase, and then...
Wait, Charlie Lee?
Yeah, developed Litecoin.
Okay. I'm thinking of it. Okay.
Yeah. We get lots of Lees.
A lot of Lees. Okay. Tom Lee, that's what
but, okay, so he moved from Google to Coinbase. And now some people, in hindsight, are looking at the spike in Litecoin before it was brought on to Coinbase. He moved to Coinbase, then they add Litecoin as a currency on the exchange. They're saying some of the information that was leaking out before that caused a rise in Litecoin price before it went on Coinbase when it really started to rise. Well, now they're saying they're going to be using their new venture capital fund to acquire startups, to fund startups, and looking to their own alumni. So they're saying the insider advantages of all this are a big red flag, you think?
It sounds like they've cornered the insider market to me. That sounds even worse than insider trading.
Well, Angela Watch, associate professor at St. Mary's University School of Law, is concerned. She speculated that Coinbase Ventures, that's the name of their new division, would have access to potentially market-moving information, such as these crypto projects that are about secure venture capital funding, or which tokens are about to be listed on other exchanges. See, not only exchange, but beyond.
When's Goldman Sachs just going to come out with a good platform and we can trade off it?
Oh, they already have. They bought the funded circle and bought Polonia.
Well, you can't put money in it. I mean, come on.
Well,
we need the NASDAQ to really step up the game and get us in there so we can really stabilize this market.
Regulation, stability.
Well, not in the regulatory aspect, but the fact that you could, have different means to be able to short Bitcoin, like we were talking earlier, with options and stuff like that. I mean, it just makes a more stable market.
Well, coming up in the second half of the show, we'll be speaking with David Steen. He's the CEO and founder of People's Paradigm, LLC. He is the South Representative of Internet of People. And that's IOP.global. We're going to find out all about that. We're going to find out what it's like to be involved in a startup in the blockchain space and what some of the headaches and rewards are with that. And we will do all that right after this break. You're listening to The Henry Raines Show.